Well, we want to share some things this morning. I feel like the Lord's given us, and want to think about this thought we wrote on the board, add to your faith. I really have a burden for this morning. I believe that the Lord wants to add to our lives a lot. He wants to enable us, and He wants to change us. He wants to make us more in His image. He wants to make us effective vessels and workers for Him. And so I want to start maybe with something that doesn't seem like it fits at first, but I believe it will. And that's a story back in Judges, the 6th chapter and the 1st verse. We find the story of Gideon and how that God visited him and the children of Israel. We're going to read a little bit, Judges 6 and 1 through 14. It says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. How often do we read that in the Bible? How many times do we read, "And the children of Israel did evil"? They just were prone to fall into evil, weren't they? And the hand of Midian, and evil is followed by troubles. That's what it's followed by. "And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them." Listen to this. "And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." You know, you look at that, that just seems so wrong. It just seems so wicked. How were they to eat? I don't think the Midianites really cared a whole lot about that. It says they destroyed, they took their cattle, their sheep, their oxen, destroyed the fruits of their ground, so that these people were greatly impoverished because of it. They were in trouble, weren't they? And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." You know, so often we find history repeats itself. And we better watch it or it'll repeat itself in our own life. How many times have we seen people we know, people that knew better, that, as Solomon, had plenty of wisdom to know better, but the lust of their flesh overcame them, and they were deceived by it, and then we find them becoming greatly impoverished. We find them becoming destroyed of the enemy. We find them hungry and thirsty and crying, and they weep many times, and they cry, and they feel like the price is too great, and it is, isn't it? This to me would seem like it's just too great. But we find that, and we find it over and over. But you know what? In all of that, God was looking for something here. And it says, it came at verse 11, Judges 6 and 11, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah." Don't we thank God for His mercy this morning? He sees us when we ourselves bring it on ourselves. He still sees us, doesn't he? And many times he still reaches out to us. We brought it on ourselves. We did this, the foolish thing. We caused ourselves so much trouble. And yet God, in his love and in his care, he sent an angel here. And you know what he did? It says here, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked on him, upon him, and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? You know, this morning, here was a man that didn't feel. The angel of the Lord came and said, called him a mighty man of valor. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, we all know this story, so I'm not going to read any more of it, I suppose. But, you know, we think about what happened here. His father was an idol worshiper. And he had on his property an image to Baal. And he had a grove out there. All this part of the wicked worship of this idol Baal. And we find here that Gideon, his son, God saw something in him, didn't he? I have to believe that for the angel of the Lord to come and tell Gideon that Gideon must not have been taking his father's route. He must have been setting a new path for his feet. And Gideon must have, in spite of all that his father did and had and all of those things, Gideon must have been strong enough that the Lord called him. The angel of the Lord said, you're a mighty man of valor, and the Lord's with you. You know, that's an amazing thing for God to say that. You're a mighty man of valor. When you think about that word valor, it means valiant. It means wealth, virtue, not temporal wealth necessarily, but wealth and strength, valor, able, valiantly, valor, virtuous, worthy. You know, here was a man like this in the midst of everything else. And God had something he needed done. And here was a man that had some strength that those around him didn't have. Maybe because of the lust of their flesh. I'm sure that was a lot of it. Maybe because everybody else did it. Maybe because their fathers did it. But they followed after this foolish, silly, crazy image Baal. And they bowed down to it. And Israel was given to idolatry. And here we find a man that had strength in the midst of it, even though his father wasn't that way. Even though his father didn't have strength like that. Do you know this morning that God had some work for Gideon to do? And the angel told him, he said, I want you to go and you pull down that image of Baal. And I didn't read the story just now. It seems to me like he burned it. He burned the groves, I believe. He cut them down. And he did all of this at night, because he knew if it was during the day, he would be having great problems. And you know, Gideon was a man of valor. He was a man of strength. And he went in there and took 10 servants and got busy, didn't he? And he did what God told him to do. But I wonder how it was that God chose this man. I'm just thinking out loud. There must have been some things about his life that he saw that You know, Jesus told us that he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Sometimes we get to thinking, you know, if I had a big job, I'd be faithful at it too. If you're not faithful at what you're doing now, you would not be faithful then. That's the words of Jesus. And so I found it to be true that way too. You don't promote someone to more responsibility if they're not taking the responsibility they have. So I want to talk to us this morning about adding some things to our faith that God wants to add to us and change us and make us into a person that, I don't know what he wants you to do. And I'm trying to follow what he wants me to do. But you know what? He's looking for us to become people and change as we go. To look to the Lord. I'm sure when Gideon started out, he wasn't the mighty man of valor. He wasn't born a mighty man of valor. He made choices that made him a mighty man of valor. He paid prices. He made hard choices. When the pressure was on Gideon, everybody else is going to the sacrifice tonight. Why don't you come with us? Come on, Gideon, everybody else is. And besides, where is God? We're all under oppression. You think God's real? You think he's still with us? Where did he go? But Gideon followed the Lord, didn't he? As far as I can see and tell. I want to look in 2 Peter 1 and 4 and 5. God called on Gideon to do a very big deed. I will tell you, when the people of the town found out their idol was torn down and their grove was cut down, they were angry, and they came to Gideon's house, and they said, who hath done this? Well, or anyway, they inquired. They found out it was Gideon, and they came, and they were wanting to kill him for what he had done. He knew that what he had done, he knew when he did it what the consequences might be. But you know what? He was a man of strength, a man of valor, a valiant man. You know what? Because he had proved it in the little bit of life he had lived. He hadn't done anything great that we find out. In fact, when you read about Gideon and everything, you find a man that's in great need here, just like us this morning. But you know what? Gideon wanted and was willing to make the hard choices to do God's will. That's what he's looking for today. You know, in 2 Peter 1, I want to read a little bit here. In verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence. You know, I want to notice that little word beside. You know, the Lord has given us great and precious promises, hadn't he? But he says, beside all of these things, besides this, you give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. You know, virtue is what Gideon had. Do you know that word virtue has the same meaning as valor almost? It means, the word virtue, manliness, valor, that is excellence, intrinsic or attributed, virtue. And so when you study that out a little bit, it means strength. You know, Peter here tells us, he says, add something to your faith, okay? We get saved. We have faith in God. He makes these great changes. We begin to take hold on those awesome promises that God has for us. And then he says, now I want you to add some things. Now, you know, if Gideon had have just decided, I'm going to serve God, but I just want to get by. You know, he wouldn't have had what he had. But you know, he added some things in his life. And I want to encourage us this morning to take this scripture home with us and begin to think about what it means. It says here, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. I want us to think about beginning in our life to decide, I want to add some things to my faith. Now, what's it mean? Diligence, I want to read that first. It's eagerness, earnestness, business, earnest care, diligence, forwardness, haste. Diligent, that word in the Greek means that we give it some real heed. And Peter tells us here, I want you to give consideration to this. I want you to be diligent about adding to your faith some things. God has things He wants you and I to do. But if we, in our present state, when we first get saved, stay in that condition and never grow, do you know we never progress? Do you know that the Lord can never really use us a lot? He can never really use us for what He wants. But the Lord has things in mind for us. And He wants us to take the Scripture, and He wants us to begin to think about what it means to have manliness, to have valor, to have virtue in our life. Look it up. Look the word virtue up. See what it means in the Greek. See what it means when you look up the word virtue in Webster's. And find out what it means to be a person of strength and honor and character this morning. This is part of how we grow this morning. And I want to encourage us to take this path that the Bible tells us and begin to think about those things that lend itself to strength. You know, look up the words virtue. See where it's written in other parts of the Bible. Look up what it means to be strong. See where it tells us in, look up the word strong. See how many times it mentions it in the Bible. Look up the word weak. You know what the Scripture tells us if you start looking around a little bit? We begin to meditate on these things. And we begin to think on them. That's what this diligence is telling us to do. Put these things in our life and think about these things in our life. How can I be more of a person of virtue? How can I be more of a person of strength instead of failing under when the stress gets on or whatever? How can I win and begin to think about those things and pray about those things? Because what the Scripture says is, it doesn't say you were born with a full supply of all these things. It says add them to your faith. Add them. Yes, we have some given to us by God to begin with. But folks, that little bit of strength at the beginning, the Lord wants to become muscled. He wants it to become fleshed out and filled out. He wants our life to become this way. And so the way we do it is we eat just like we do physically. We begin to eat. We begin to think about this. You know, the Scripture tells us, and I'll just quote a couple of them in Joel 3 and 10. It says, this is toward the end of the Scripture, let the weak say, I am strong. You consider yourself weak? That's okay. I consider myself weak too. You know what? But in the Lord, I can do all things through His strength. And you begin to feed on these kind of things. And you begin to face challenges. You begin to see the things that come before us. And instead of faltering, now then, this has been going down in your system. The Lord says, let the weak say, I am strong. And we begin to face our battles. I can win because of Jesus Christ. I can win because of the grace that He has. And so we begin to grow. The 1 Corinthians 16 and 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. You know, when we begin to feed ourselves on things like this and call upon God for it, we begin to add into our life things that we did not have before. Those things just begin to grow in us. How does it happen? I don't know, just like a tree grows. That's how it happens. And so you begin to meditate to think on what it means. You begin to see your battles in a different light. Instead of seeing your weakness, you begin to see God's strength. Paul found out. The Lord let him know, my strength is made perfect in your weakness, Paul. I'm not going to make you all strong, Paul. I'm going to put this little thing in your life because I want you to feel your need. I want you to get the strength that I have. And in the Lord is limitless, isn't it? There isn't any battle he can't win or won't win if we will allow him to. So as we begin to grow, we begin to study these kind of things. I'm just thinking about adding to our faith. I don't think Gideon got where he was overnight. But God needed a man that he could trust. He went looking for one that had been growing. And so it doesn't mean, and as we begin to study these kind of things, we realize it doesn't mean we feel strong. Maybe we'll never feel all that strong. Maybe we'll always feel our sufficiency is totally of the Lord. If he doesn't help me, I'm in big trouble. If he doesn't help me for one day, the devil would decimate us, wouldn't he? Sure he would. If the Lord would move back for one day, you think the devil wouldn't decimate you and I? Of course he would. We want to recognize that and be very carefully walk before the Lord and live before him. So we don't necessarily feel strong. We don't concentrate on trying to do great things. We concentrate on being faithful to the Lord and allowing the Lord to, in our daily walk, to make us strong. We have to live before wicked people. We have to have a testimony before wicked people. That's when it's time to be strong. That's when it's time to go before the Lord and say, Lord, your word says to quit you like men. It tells me to be strong. It says to let the weak be strong. And Lord, in your grace, I'm claiming this. And you begin, your faith begins to develop. And we begin to reach out. Now, I know I'm talking ABCs in some sense, but this is what all of us have to do to make it this morning. All of us. Be valiant in the day-to-day business of serving God. And then, when the Lord does have something, and he does. Folks, this is what I hope we can get a hold of through the weeks and months. He does have something for us to do. And we don't want to cower and run. Every one of us, he has serious work he wants you and me to do. And so he can't use those that won't be faithful and valiant in their little things. He's limited. He's limited by that. And so we begin to call upon God. We begin to add to our faith. We begin to search for the Lord. Lord, I need your strength. Lord, I need you to make me strong because I'm not strong. I need you to help me. I need you to make me the parent, the father, the mother that I'm supposed to be. I need you to give me grace to be a proper example to the world of a Christian. And you know that when the Lord comes looking to pass out gifts of the Spirit, he's going to be looking for faithful people. Not great people, faithful people. That's what he's, because it is his gift of the Spirit that he passes out. So he's looking for you and me to be faithful this morning. I want to look at Ezekiel 22 and 29 to 31. You know, this morning, I really believe the Lord longs for us to not look back, not look at past experiences, but to look forward and to look to the Lord to be the person that he wants us to be. Ezekiel 22 and 29. Listen to this. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that they should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. You know, this morning, the Lord, many times in a family situation, in a home, in a congregation, in a nation, the Lord is looking to see, is there somebody faithful like Gideon that I can raise up to be a deliverer to through my power? Is there somebody that I can use? And he's looking for those faithful people this morning. I want to encourage us this morning as we go to Monarch. Lord, just search me and teach me your ways and lead me in your ways and teach me different than my own thoughts if need be. And, you know, I believe the Lord will do that. Now, these people, the scripture says, they had exercised themselves into robbery and many evil things. God was looking for a man that would stand in the gap. He was looking for a man that would tell these people the truth. Gideon, at the peril of his life, did what God wanted him to do. Gideon stood against the evil that was going on in that land, and God worked a wonderful deliverance for them, didn't he? Do you know, this morning, God is looking for some of us folks to stand where we are in the Lord, in his word, in his ways, in his meekness, in his humility, in his spirit, and be guided by that. He's looking for us to add to our faith some of these things. It is those people that he can use this morning. People who begin to exercise themselves unto godliness. Then when the Lord looks down, he says, well, I have this one over here. In some ways, he's not very well qualified, but you know what? He's faithful. And I'll do the rest. I'll do the rest. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I can do it. You know what? The Lord's looking for that, folks. Be faithful this morning. Add. Meditate. Be diligent to add to our faith. Be diligent to meditate on these things. That's the way we eat. You know, Jesus had to grow. Do you ever think about that? In Luke 4 or 2 and 40, it says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Do you know he grew in stature? He grew as he got older, both physically, and I believe he grew in understanding. I believe in all the interactions of family and all those things, he was learning. He was tempted in all points like as we are. But Jesus was growing. I believe that. I know he was filled with the Holy Ghost, of course. He was God in the flesh. I want to look over at 1 Timothy 4 and 15. Meditate. Paul told Timothy here, he said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. Do you know when you start meditating, not on the things of the world, that's what the world meditates on. They meditate on everything that the flesh would meditate on. The lust of their flesh, they meditate on what's going on, what they don't like, what they do like. They just meditate on everything. But you know what this says? It says here, you meditate upon these things, Paul. The things that you've received from the Word of God, from me, he said, give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Do you know, this morning, I believe the Lord wants to save not only us, folks, but those that hear us. And we have to be able to have an influence on that. And he told Timothy, He said, Timothy, I want you to meditate on the... What does it mean to meditate? Now, over there it tells us to add, to be diligent to add. What's it mean to do that? Here, the word meditate means this. To take care of. That is, by implication, revolve in the mind. Imagine. Meditate. It means... We know what a cow does when they eat something, don't they? It goes into their stomach. They chew it. It revolves around and they chew it again. And you know what this morning? That's what we do. That's how we grow. That's how we add to our faith. We begin to meditate not on the strength of the battle. We always turn from that. But we meditate on the strength of the Lord. We meditate on His power, on His ability to help us. We meditate on the fact that He can make me able to do that manly deed, that deed of strength that needs to be done. He can make me able to hold my profession when they're making fun of me. He can make me able to be a godly father, a godly husband. He can do that. You know what? When we begin to meditate on those things, revolve them around in our mind, instead of all the things that everybody else meditates on, we need to be taking some time to meditate on these things. That's necessary, and it has to happen in order for us to grow. It's the way we chew our food. We hear it this morning. We read it in our devotions. We hear it from others on Wednesday night, and it goes in, and we think about it, and it revolves. We chew it. We meditate on it. And what happens? Then do we reach down and pull our leg out and we grow some? No, it just happens naturally when we do those things. It just happens naturally. I know this is very basic this morning, but I will tell you, this is so critical for us to have a lifelong habit, if you will, of allowing God to make us to grow. This morning, I want to look at Psalms, the first chapter that's been read. You've probably heard it 100 times or more, probably hundreds, some of us. But it speaks here of those that do meditate. And it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He made choices to choose to give himself and his affections to the things of the Lord. He made choices to do that. He could have chosen to fill up his life with other things. But this man that this first psalm is talking about made choices to make God first and to make his things first. And he said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He chews it up. He thinks about it. I know some of us, we have jobs that take our mind. I've wrestled with that through the years. I say wrestled. Some of us have jobs that are very consuming. But I will tell you, the very base of who we are and what we are needs to be that we think about the things of God, that we pray to Him when we have needs. And he, listen to what happens when you do this, okay? This is not something self-made or self-done, and it's not mind over matter. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now that means whether we're up or whether we're down. It's not talking about that. It's talking about this soul of ours, mainly. You know what? The Lord puts His blessing upon our life when we live like this. And I want to encourage us this morning, folks, let's add to our faith, not only virtue. That was just something that I wanted to bring out that I felt like the Lord gave me to bring the thought out of how necessary it is to begin to add those things in our life and the way we do it. It goes on in that place, 2 Peter 1 and 5, is it? It goes on to tell us to add to virtue what? Knowledge. And so that's how we begin. We begin to meditate on that. We begin to meditate. Add knowledge? What's that mean? Add knowledge of His will. We begin to understand more about God because, you know what? We're seeking it. We're feeding on it. We're letting it revolve in our mind. Add knowledge of His Word. How do we do that? We take it in, don't we? However, we read it. We hear it. Some people listen to messages all the time on Church of God preaching. Do you know that we take it in, don't we? But I will tell you, we must take it in. And nothing can supplant reading this blessed Word on a daily basis. I suggest not only to study subjects, but to study the whole Word. Walk through all the Word of God. Walk through the whole New Testament to begin with. And study every word. And think about what it means. Let it revolve in our mind until our comprehension begins, our knowledge base begins to be added to. And the devil comes along and he's got a lot of fuzzy feelings like we heard this morning. And all of these things. And we're tempted to run off with that. But, oh wait, what about the Word of God? See, we planted that down in here. We've begun to understand some knowledge. We've begun to grow. It's a great protection to us, folks. And it is a blessing that nothing else can give or bring this morning. Add to your faith. If we just feel like we're saved, folks, that is a good starting place. I'm speaking to all of us this morning. We can be however old. We can be 75 years old and never add to our faith. Never add to those things. And the Lord wants us to add virtue. He wants us to add knowledge. And to knowledge, He wants us to add temperance. And these things, I will tell you, they make us that we grow. They make us that our leaf will not wither. They make us that we are like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And people walk by, wow, that's a nice tree. And everywhere else out in the field, they're shriveled up. But the Lord said, you would be like a river. The man that meditates on the things of God, that gives himself, that chooses and turns away from the world. We're talking about valor. We're talking about virtue. We're talking about following and adding this morning. I really believe that it's not rocket science, as I've said many times. It's not rocket science, folks. It's just diligence. That's all it is. It's just diligence. It's diligence to keep our heart in line and to follow after God with all of our heart. And when we do that, the rest is natural. It works that way. 2 Timothy 2. I have a few other scriptures here. 2 and 14. Isn't the Word of God we sang about this morning? It is so valuable. It is so rich. Of these things, verse 14, put them in remembrance. Timothy, help the people remember. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. Don't let them meditate on those things that don't have any profit in it. You go round and round, and when you get all done, that's it. You're still going round and round. He said, charge them that they don't do that. But to the subverting of the hearer, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That comes from adding. That comes from developing. That comes from maturing in the Lord. Those kind of things. When we first start out, we're so susceptible. Hopefully there's somebody helping you to watch for your soul. That's why the Lord puts people in our lives to watch for our soul. But He wants it to be that we grow and we watch for other people's souls, don't we? rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth the canker. Timothy, remember, there's things that are going to eat like a cancer. They're going to eat whatever that word means exactly. I'm going to say they're going to eat like a cancer. Anyway, they're going to eat like a sore. They're going to cause trouble. And he says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Do you know we live in a world like that? Everywhere on every side you find false teachings and false doctrines that lead people in the end away from God and overthrow their faith. And maybe at first it sounds like, wow, these people are pretty smart. These people, they really have an argument here. And before we know it, we're adrift and don't know how we got there. I will tell you how to keep from that. Be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and meekness and all of those things, and let them become deep within our life. Meditate on them. Turn them. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. I want to read just a couple of other places here. Hebrews 5 and 13. You remember this scripture? Sure we do. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. That's what the scriptures tell us. He's unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. Do you know when we're a babe, we're unskillful in the word of righteousness? And yet the world thinks they can figure this out on their own without even being a babe. They can figure it out just the mind. They're going to miss it completely, aren't they? And so he says here, but strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Oh, how the Lord wants our senses to be exercised, to learn to discern between good and evil, between that which makes people healthy spiritually and that which doesn't, between those things that will make us prosper in the things of God and those things that will trip us up in the long run. Oh, listen, it don't come by our mind, folks. Let's don't fall into that. And so we come back to where we started, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. You ever thought, I'm not going to go over all these because I want us to do that on our own. Go back to 2 Peter, the first chapter, and take a whole morning worship or a couple of them on every one of those little words and find out what they mean. Revolve them in your mind. Trust God to make it grow into your life. Lord, I want to be that way. He says, add to knowledge temperance. You know what Clark says of temperance? A proper and limited use of all earthly enjoyments, keeping every sense under the proper restraints and never permitting the animal part to subjugate or bring under the rational. You know, saints, if we'll do these things, you drop on down to verse 10, it says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. Folks, that's the word of God. I'm going to stand on that. I'm going to believe that. He said if we do these things, that we would never fall. If we reject our mind, going out after everything that comes along, wondering and spending all of our time, what if, and wondering and why, and all of these things. Instead, spend your time meditating on the good things of God. And I'll tell you what will happen. The Lord will teach you all your life. He'll lead you. He'll make things unfold to your understanding. He'll begin to work in your life. He'll make you strong when you're weak. When you really are weak, He'll make you strong. We'll find that the grace of God is greater than we ever thought it could be. Remember Brother Ed Johnson one time told me, he just made this statement. He was kind of prone to making statements like that. But he said, I know how people lose out with the Lord. They just stop reading and praying. That's why it was just so basic and so true. And so true. Do you know this morning? I know how people live for the Lord. They just read and pray and give themselves to God every day. And they just seek Him. And when they do that, they make it to heaven if they keep doing that. And if we do these things, folks, we shall never fall. I want to tell you, the tree that was talked about in Psalms 1. You know, not every tree does that. Not every tree yields its fruit in its season. Not every tree is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Some of them die. You know, some of them become diseased. Some of them become wounded. And all of its energy goes to just fighting to maintain, to keep, and not growing. But I will tell you, growth comes, fruit comes, life comes, vibrant colors come to those leaves when health is maintained, when water is there, when the proper nutrition is there. Disease and bugs have a hard time with a healthy tree. They can't always, healthy trees resist it. There's things, I've read some about these things. They resist it. They do. And so our option, folks, this morning is to let health spring forth in our life. Let it be. It was by choice that Gideon was a man of valor, and God looked on him that way. It's by choice. He made those choices. Ours is too. God help us today. You pray for me.